Let's hear the word of the Lord together. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, some final words of instruction. A church that he had pastored and had founded in the midst of difficult situations. In fact, he had to flee Thessalonica because of a riot and persecution that broke out. You can read about that in the book of Acts, but he had to flee and cut his ministry short. And he's writing back to them now to encourage them in the faith. But as he gives some final instruction in verse 16 of chapter 5, he says, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we could be together this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word, that it calls us to even some difficult things, to give thanks to you in all circumstances of life. Father, we confess to you that that's not easy. And Lord, we pray that through your word this morning, through your spirit, you would speak to us and encourage us with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, that you would well up within us as your spirit works within us daily to make us more like yourself, to transform us and to be a people of thanksgiving and gratitude, not one day, but every day of our life. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In Ravensbrück concentration camp, two girls were arrested and put in there during the time of World War II. Their father had a clock shop, and he felt called by the Lord when Nazis were getting to take over Holland to hide the Jews and protect them from the Nazis. And he would hide them in their home. Well, they were discovered. And two sisters, Corey and Betsy Ten Boom, were taken and put into one of the worst concentration camps. Terrible conditions they lived in. The beds were stacked three high. The beds were infested with fleas and lice. And if that was not enough, the concentration camp where they were put was right next to where Corey and Betsy could hear all the punishment barracks were. All day long and often into the night, terrible sounds of cruelty could be heard and screams coming from that place. Every day that passed by, new things were added to their list of things that didn't make sense in their life. Corey wondered how they could ever endure such an awful place as this. But Betsy prayed and reminded her sister that what they had read that morning in the scripture was this: "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." They started to list the things in which they could give thanks for. They thanked God for the Bible that had been smuggled in to the room that they were able to read. They even gave thanks for the packed room in which they were living. But after mentioning several things they were thankful for, Betsy said, "Thank you, God, for the fleas." Corey wondered how she could ever be thankful for a flea. But because of the fleas, several weeks later, one of the supervisors was called to come into the barracks to settle some issues that was going on inside. But however, the supervisor refused to enter the room because the room was infested with fleas. Because of the flea infestation, they had freedom to pray, they had freedom to read the Bible, and they had freedom to teach others about Jesus in that concentration room. Because of the fleas and lice, none of the supervisors nor the guards would enter the barracks. And this, Corey realized how thankful she could be. She later wrote in her book, The Hiding Place, she said, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." She said, "My mind rushed back to our first hour in this place, and I remembered Betsy's bowed head, remembered her, 'Thank you, God, for creatures that I could see no use for.'" Can you give thanks for the fleas in your life? It's easy to give thanks for the good things, isn't it? It's easy to give thanks when things are going well. When there's a lot of things, everything's going well in our life, we seem to be at the top of our game. But when things seem, the bottom seems to fall out, when the hard times come, when our health begins to decline, when sickness comes in, when we lose there's loss of income, a job, or a loved one, when things don't seem to make sense, and when God's purpose isn't clearly seen, where it looks like we can't understand what he is doing. It's hard to give thanks in times like that, isn't it? But yet the scripture says, give thanks in all circumstances, the good and bad, for the blessings and the joys, as well as the fleas and the hard times that come in our life. But notice something. Paul says in verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. And that word that he says is important. It's the Holy Spirit revealed that to him. He says, give thanks in all circumstances, not give thanks for all circumstances. There's a difference. Because there's sometimes those hardships come into our life that's not the result of thing. It could be unfortunate things that happen to us. But we're to give thanks in all circumstances. So when we do that, we learn to give thanks for the fleas. And when we give thanks for those difficult times, five things occur in our life and you're in mine. It's discovered together as we learn to thank God for the fleas, the difficult times in all circumstances of life, good and bad, what happens in our life as a result of it. When we thank God for the fleas, first it demonstrates our faith. And it shows others that we truly know the Lord. It shows our trust in God's goodness and his sovereignty. When Betsy heard Corey give thanks for the flea, she thought, at first, how could that be? But it was a demonstration of her faith that she could see God at work in a way that she never would have expected. And it shows that we trust in God's goodness. The scripture says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his goodness goes to all generations. And he is sovereign. And God has a good purpose and plan in all that comes in our life. And there may be some difficult, hard things, and we wonder why. But God can turn all that's bad for good. You believe that? And God is always working behind the scenes in ways that we can't see, just as he was using those fleas in a way that Corey and Betsy could teach others about Jesus. And giving thanks for God, it shows that we trust his goodness, his sovereignty, even though we can't see it. Because God is good all the time. And all the time, you know it, God is good. And we can believe that. And we can trust that. Joseph, in the Old Testament, was a man that realized that. And he was, you know his story, he was one of 12 sons. He was his daddy's favorite. And his daddy showed him that favorite by putting on that special coat for him. And Joseph, at that time in his life, was a little arrogant, a little proud about it. And he would show off that coat. And the brothers got really jealous. And you know this story, they sold him into slavery. First, they wanted to kill him and said, no, we're going to do that. He's our brother. So they sold him into slavery. He was taken in, bought by a man named Potiphar, served Potiphar well. He was beginning to be elevated, and Potiphar's wife came on and tried to seduce him. You know the story. He was wrongly accused. He was put into prison. Wrong. He was innocent, but he was wrongly accused, put into jail. But he did not get bitter. And for 3 years, and he again was served in prison and got the favor of the guard there and the warden, and he was elevated there. And then the king's baker and butler came in, and he told them stories about their dreams. And he was again forgotten and passed over till 3 years had passed, and the Pharaoh finally had a dream. He told the Pharaoh his dream, you know the story, he was elevated, put in second command of all of Egypt. Time passed, and there was a famine in the land, which the Lord had revealed to Joseph. Joseph's brothers had come to Egypt to buy food. And now here they are, all these years later, Joseph is in power in Egypt. His brothers come and bow before him, which he had seen in a vision. And here's Joseph's time. Ah, I can get even with my brothers. I'm going to let them have it. I got the power. I can squash them. But is that what he did? If you read Genesis chapter 45, verses 5 to 7, he says, God meant this for good. You meant this for evil, but God was behind working the scene. He already orchestrated this. This was all part of his plan, and I trust and thank God for it. Because he was able to see God at work. Not once do you read about Joseph, all that he went through, that he ever got bitter. Not once did he ever gripe against God and say, I'm treated unjustly. But he knew that God was at work through his situation behind the scenes, and he was able to rejoice in it. It demonstrates our faith when we learn to give thanks even for the fleas and the hard times in life. It also shows our reliance on God's provision, that we trust in him and trust in what he provides for us. The first Thanksgiving, when the pilgrims arrived in 1620 in the fall in New England, coming from Holland on their way here for religious freedom, the freedom to worship God, planning to land in New York Harbor and was blown off course by a wind and landed up in New England at one of the worst times of the year with the coming of winter. Not prepared, had to build their own shelters. And as you know the story, over half of the pilgrims died and didn't make it through that first winter. The rations got so severe that they were only could live on 5 kernels of corn a day. But then as they made it through that winter, God brought them through faithful, and the fall came. They had that bountiful harvest, and they celebrated that first Thanksgiving together, which reminded them that God was the provider, and they demonstrated their faith and trust in him. It demonstrates our trust in God when we learn to give him thanks, even for the hard and difficult times. It also, when we thank God for the fleas, it encourages, enhances our witness. Because when we learn to rejoice and give thanks in the midst of hardship and difficulty, God is exalted. Because whether you or I know it or not, or realize it or not, as a Christian, if someone knows you're a believer, they're watching everything we do. And they're watching our lives, especially how you and I handle the difficult times that come in our life. When we go through those hard times, and those challenges come, they're watching us. They may not say it, but they're watching to see what our attitude is, to see, do we really believe what we say we do? And when we give thanks and rejoice, even in those times, our witness of Christ is powerful, and people see that, and Jesus is exalted. A good illustration of that is in Acts chapter 16, where the Apostle Paul was preaching in the town of Philippi. And he was preaching there the gospel, and he was arrested, and he was beaten and put in jail. And there he is in the inner stocks. It says he was in the inner stocks with his hands and feet chained along with Silas. And what did he do in jail that night? Do you remember? He praised God. He sang. He worshiped. He gave thanks. He didn't say, oh, woe is me. Here I am serving God and I'm stuck in this jail. But he praised God. And you may say, well, what difference did it make? You know what? There were other prisoners there. They heard. Whenever God sent the earthquake to release Paul and Silas, none of the prisoners ran away. Paul says, we're all right here. Why? Because they had seen the impact of Paul's faith. And it made a witness on them. And the Philippian jailer himself ended up becoming a believer because he saw Paul's faith demonstrated in the midst of that. When you and I live out our faith in times like that, it's a powerful witness that the world can't deny. They can't argue with because they see the reality of that faith at work in our life. And they see it. We rejoice when we rejoice and give thanks in the midst of it. It also enhances our witness when we give thanks instead of complaining. Because no one likes to be around the complainer, do they? And Kim had to remind me this week, she's laughing at me, because I have been prone lately, especially lately, to complain a lot about what's going on in our country. Now, you can't really see what's going on and not really be bugged by, at least me anyway, and I complain a lot about it. And she said to me on Thursday, she said Wednesday, she said, you know, tomorrow I want you to do an experiment. Can you go all day without complaining and saying something negative? You know, and it's hard, but when we complain, that again ruins our witness instead of giving thanks to the Lord. There is a preacher by the name of Alexander Wythe. He was a Scottish preacher, and he always began his prayers with an expression of praise and gratitude. Well, it was one cold, miserable day. His congregation wondered what he would say when he began to pray, because it was one of those miserable days, you know, where we hate. Well, he prayed and he said, "We thank thee, O Lord, that it is not always like this." You know, and that should be our attitude, that it's not always this way. God is good and God works everything out. It enhances our witness and God is exalted when we give thanks for the fleas. Imagine when Corey and Betsy gave thanks for the fleas in that room. The others heard. It impacted them and made a witness, and they had a ministry there. When we give thanks for the fleas as well, third, it silences our enemy. Our enemy, Satan, has nothing he can say anymore. Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. But our enemy fosters our discontentment. And he wants to try to make us discontented. It was the very beginning in the Garden of Eden that was his plan. He came to Adam and Eve, and God had given them all that good bounty. He'd given them everything the garden they ever wanted. They lived in perfection, all the fruit-bearing trees, everything they wanted, and God had given it to them. It was very good. And Satan said, God's holding out on you. There's that one tree right there in the middle of the garden you can't have. And, you know, God's not fair. And he put their attention on what they couldn't have instead of what they had. And that's what Satan does. And he breeds that discontentment as he takes our focus off all the many good things God's done for us and focuses on that one negative thing that we are suffering in our life at that moment, on the bad instead of the good. He puts our focus on the fleas instead of the blessings. And he does that a lot. But Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, you heard these verses before, but Paul says, I have learned the secret and to be content in whatever the circumstances are in. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. And I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And when we learn to give thanks in all situations of life, our enemy is silenced. There's nothing he can attack us about. He can't bring that discontentment in our life because we're thankful for what God has given and we have that contentment. He also tries to discredit our faith. Job is a good example of that. I mean, you know the story of Job. Satan came to God in heaven and brought that challenge. He said Job was a man of great blessing and great wealth. He was the richest man in the world at that time. And Satan was convinced that Job was only serving God because of the wealth that he had, that God had blessed him so much. And Satan said, let me take all that away from him, and I guarantee you he'll curse you because he's only serving you for the blessings. You know the story. You know all that Job went through. God gave permission, but he said, don't touch his life, but you can do everything else. Satan took his family, took his health, took his wealth, took everything he had. But still he said, Lord, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And God knew. And Satan was silenced. There was nothing more he could say. Because Job had that attitude. I will rejoice in all circumstances of life, whether well-fed or hungry. I'll thank God for those fleas. And the enemy was silenced. And that's how it is in your life and mine. Also, when we give thanks in all circumstances, it pleases our Lord. Again, Paul said, to the Philippians, to the Thessalonians, and to us, give thanks in all circumstances. Let's look at the rest of this verse. For this is God's what? Let's say it together. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He makes it clear. This is his will for us. This is one of the few times in Scripture where God clearly says, this is my will. Where he clearly spells it out. And here it is. He said, this is my will for you. that you give thanks in all circumstances of life. So it pleases him when we give thanks. God is pleased. Nothing pleases the Lord more than when we do his will. And we are doing his will when we give thanks in all things. We are living in the center of his will. When someone does something for you or gives you a gift, the people who gave it to you often like to hear you say thank you. Reason being is they just want to know that you appreciate what you've done, that you appreciate that and didn't take it for granted, but you appreciated their kindness. God's the same way. That when we give thanks, what he's done for us, he likes to hear us say thank you and give him thanks and gratitude for what he's done. It pleases him. But back in 1860, an excursion boat on Lake Michigan collided with a freighter, and it began to sink less than a mile away from the shore. Hundreds of passengers began screaming as they leaped into the icy water that night. But Edward Spencer, who was a student at a nearby seminary, heard, and he ran down to the beach to see what he could do. He was a strong swimmer, so for 6 hours he swam out and back, pulling people ashore. Battling stormy waves and the powerful undertow for 6 hours, saving as many as he could. By dawn, he had personally rescued 15 people on many trips back and forth. Exhausted, he sat down until someone had spotted two more people still out on the water. So Spencer dove in again and found the man and woman clinging desperately to a piece of the wreckage of the boat. He brought them in too, and then he collapsed on the beach after all that time. Out of 393 passengers, only one quarter were rescued. And 17 of them were rescued by Edward Spencer alone. His own health, however, was permanently damaged by this act of heroism, by him spending all these hours back and forth in the cold water. He was never able to return back to school and to seminary, and unfortunately lived out his rest of his days as an invalid the rest of his life. Years later, a reporter doing a story on Great Lakes tragedies found Edward Spencer living at a nursing home in California. And they asked for his recollections of that night. And this is what he said, quoting him. Spencer said bitterly, quote, "The only thing I remember is not one of those 17 ever thanked me." God feels the same way. He is pleased when we say thank you. It fulfills his will. It honors him. It glorifies him. Jesus was probably, as read in the scripture one time where Jesus was going through the city of Jericho, and there were these 10 lepers that were there, and they cried out for mercy to be healing, and Jesus healed all 10 of them. And he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And it says, as they were going, they were healed. But as they were going, all 10 of them were healed, but one came back. Only one of the 10 came back and said thank you to Jesus. Remember that story? And Jesus said, and the one that came back, you remember who he was? He was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, well, weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? And you could sense Jesus' heart was disappointed because they had failed to thank him. The simple words. And it fulfills his will. It gives him thanks. And it also gives us joy in that life because we have joy because we are filling out and living the will of God. When we are fulfilling his will and giving thanks. When we thank God for the fleas, finally, the fifth thing we learn is that it changes our perspective. As Satan tries to put our perspective on the fleas, on the difficulties, on the hardships, on the unpleasant things of life, when we give thanks for the Lord in all circumstances, our perspective has changed. It takes it off of ourselves and it puts it on the Lord. It takes it off of the difficulty things in our life, the things that we don't like, off what we don't have, and puts it on the things we do. It takes our eye off of the fleas. and puts it on God's goodness and his overall purpose for us. It changes our internal perspective. Now, this Thursday, many of you are going to be gathering together with your family and having turkey. It's part of the Thanksgiving tradition. We had ours last night. But to gather together and have turkey with your family, part of that feast that we look forward to. But what happens, ladies, if you're cooking your meal, you get your family all ready, you have a whole bunch of people coming to your house, the family is all getting ready to gather, you have company coming, and you get ready to take your turkey out and you burn the turkey. Then what? If the turkey's burned, is your Thanksgiving ruined? Well, here's a positive way of looking at it. If you burn the turkey, well, salmonella will no longer be a concern. If you burn the turkey, no one will overeat, which I did yesterday. If you burn the turkey, George, here's one for you. Everyone will think it's Cajun blackened. If you burn the turkey, uninvited guests will think twice before coming to your dinner next year for your house. If you burn the turkey, your cheese, broccoli, lima bean casserole will gain newly found appreciation. If you burn the turkey, your pest won't pester you for any scraps. And if you burn the turkey, it's a good thing because the smoke alarm was due for a test anyway. If you burn the turkey, it's good because carving the bird will provide a good cardiovascular workout for you. And if you burn the turkey after dinner, the guys can take the bird out to the yard and play football. How about that one? How about that, George? You like that one, Bill? If you burn the turkey, you'll get to the desserts quicker. And if you burn the turkey, you won't have to face 3 weeks of turkey sandwiches afterwards. But the point is, it changes our perspective. There's always something we can give thanks in, even in the midst of those difficult times. So Scripture says, give thanks in all circumstances of life, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Corrie ten Boom, Betsy, giving thanks for the fleas in the midst of all that they went in that uncomfortable thing in the concentration camp. But yet through that, God was at work, allowing them to have freedom that they could teach others about the Lord. God was behind the scenes. And he often is in your lives and mine in many ways we can't see. And he allows those difficult and unpleasant things in our life to happen to make us draw closer to him and to trust him more. Give thanks in all circumstances of life, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the instruction of your word, which is very practical, but we confess to you it's often hard to do. Lord, it is so easy to give thanks when things are going well, for the good things in life, but it is harder to give thanks for those unpleasant times in our life, for when the fleas are biting at us and that unpleasant times are there. But yet, even then, you have not forsaken us. Even then, you have allowed them for a reason. And you are work in ways that we cannot see because you are a good God. And your faithfulness endures through all generations, and all you do is for your good in us. So, Lord, help us to have that attitude of gratitude, to get our perspective off of ourselves and onto you, knowing, Lord, that that pleases you and you are honored and glorified. Others are watching our life. They are seeing how we handle those hard times in life and whether we really believe what we say we do. And so, Father, make us people of gratitude and thanksgiving, not one day, but always in all times, that your will may be lived out in us, and that others may see you, and that you may be, your glory may be made known. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close this morning, our closing hymn is number 23. How can I say thanks? How can I say thanks for all that he's done? When we think of the many blessings that by his blood, he saved us, his power he raised us, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Let's stand together, sing this wonderful hymn of thanksgiving to the Lord, number 23. Let's give him glory, for he is worthy.